Hello, dear friends, and thank you for being with us. Welcome to the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute. We will begin our lecture today, which concerns the cosmos and the universe, since they are in close relationship with us. We are going to talk about the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. It is indeed very important that we understand this subject well to see how we tend to act today under their influence. We already know that there are ages, right? The Middle Ages, the Contemporary Age, Ancient Age, the Modern Age, etc. But there are also, of course, the eras, which are under the influence of this or that constellation. This is what we are going to see today. First of all, it is important that we understand how the universe is formed, organized, and how it develops, because this will allow us to better understand how and why we behave here in the world. They have so much influence under which we behave and we used to think. You know, everything is linked. There is nothing that is not related to something else. The universe conditions or behavior or way of being or way of thinking and reacting. We, as a planet Earth, revolve around the sun for a year, right? That is to say, for 365 days, plus a few hours and a few minutes. But there is also what is called a sidereal year. The sidereal year is the time during which our solar system revolves around a much larger sun called Alcyone. It is for this reason that the Pleiades and Alcyone have had so much importance in certain cultures and of the world, such as the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Greeks, the Romans, and many, many others. One might wonder why these cultures gave them to this constellation of Pleiades so much importance. We think these Pleiades are very far away, but you know what? We are part of them. Our solar system revolves around the Sun Alcyone, which is the central sun of these constellations, which show us that we are the inhabitants of the Pleiades too. We are part of the constellation of the Pleiades. Seven suns, seven stars, revolves around Alcyone. And our sun Ors, with all these planets revolving around, it also revolves around Alcyone. It is the seventh star in place. And this tour takes place over 25,968 Earth years. But at the same time, during this sidereal year, we pass under or into the magnetic influences. Electromagnetic radiation of each of the 12 constellations of the zodiac. The sign of the zodiacal ring influences us, our solar system, or Earth, us as humanity, each in turn for 2,164 years. Each constellation influences us for this during this time, and this is what we call an era. It is very important to understand well all of this, because it is linked to our way of thinking, our way of acting and feeling things. We already know that the universe affects us directly, and it has been scientifically proven that the influence of the moon affects us directly in agriculture, in tides, in diseases, and in many other areas. All cosmic units like Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, or the Sun as well as the constellation of the zodiac have an influence on all humanity and on each of us through our zodiac sign. In this journey that we make all around the Sun Alcyone, the central sun of the constellation of the Pleiades, during a sidereal year which lasts, once again, 25,968 968 years, earthly years, we are under the influence of the magnetic flux of one of the 12 constellations of the zodiacal ring. Each of them influenced us during 2,164 years. We therefore remain during this time under the influence of Libra, or Scorpio, or Aquarius, and we just go around the zodiacal ring, but in the opposite direction as we commonly know it. So we will have the sign of Leo after the sign of Virgo, instead of Virgo and then Libra. So we will have Libra, for example, Virgo, then Leo, then Cancer, then Gemini, Taurus, Aries, etc. It is in this way, in this sense, that we will enter each of the constellations of the zodiac under their influence. The last age we entered and still are in is the age of Aquarius. And the one we just came out of was the age of Pisces. And the next age we will enter will be the age of Capricorn. We entered the age of Aquarius on February 4th, 1962, between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. It is very important, first of all, that we study the age of Pisces that we have just left to understand how it was lived and how it influenced us during their 2,164 years, which will allow us to better understand the period in which we live these days. The age of Pisces, therefore, ended once again on February 4th, 1962, between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. At that time, there was a very important astronomical event. All the planets were aligned for the age of Aquarius to begin. Before this date, before the year of 1962, it was the age of Pisces that governed us. We have been in the age of Aquarius for about 60 years, 60 plus years, and the changes that occurred were radical because the energetic electromagnetic vibration of Aquarius that is different from that of Pisces, and this affect our psyche or emotions. It's really important that we understand all of this, and we are going to elaborate about that. These vibrations are similar to light, to electricity. We can use it for good or for evil. We use electricity for devices, don't we? To light us, for computers and our electrical appliances, and use it in this way, it is good. Sorry. But if we use it to kill with the electric chair, for example, then the electricity becomes a bad thing. It's the same light, I'm sorry, it's the same electricity, but we use it in very different ways. And it all depends on how we decide to use it. The electricity that passes through our electrical devices or our computer is the same electricity that passes through the electric chair. So it's up to us how we use it. This is exactly what is happening, my dear friends, with the energy coming from the cosmos, the vibration. We can channel it in a transcendental way, positive way, but we can also use it according to level of being, to our psyche, in a negative, inferior way. That's what these vibrations are. The vibration, the energy of the electromagnetic age of Pisces, has been called the Mammon vibration. Mammon is a Phoenician god who governs, who ruled according to their culture, money and reason. He is a Phoenician deity who is related to money and reason. But we were not up to the task. We were not able to grasp and use this vibration in a positive and transcendental way. Sorry. We unfortunately remained in a negative part of this vibration, of this mammon energy, which affected our mind and our way of being. We wanted money. Money, more money. It's obvious that we continue to do this, right? Today, we do everything, legal or illegal, to gain money, to have money, because of this mammon vibration. Money was a very important factor during the age of Pisces and still is today. A goal to be obtained at any cost. We have not been able to take advantage of the positive side of this vibration. We have not used money in a positive way, and we continue to do so. These are the consequences of the age of Pisces. We don't know how to have a normal relationship with money, with finances, and we always think that money is the most important thing in life, and we no longer pay attention to the things that are truly worth it. So, we will ask you for attention here. We are not saying that we should not work to earn money or life. Of course, we must work to feed ourselves, to house ourselves, to have clothes. But we have to learn to have a correct relationship with money. Money, in truth, is a physical necessity and is absolutely not a psychological necessity. However, we make money a psychological necessity, and we get that from the age of Pisces. We must learn to have a correct relationship with money. We must know where necessity ends and where the avarice, greed begins. Because our humanity, our society, unfortunately, has not yet learned to use it correctly, to use money correctly. This is what the mammon vibration was. The vibration of the age of Pisces. And we can say that we were very wrong in the way we approached our economic questions, issues. But this mammon vibration was also the era of reason, of intellect. In the age of Pisces, we gave enormous importance to reason, to intellect. So it developed enormously. But in reality, intellect is not so important. It is a useful faculty, of course it is, but not to the point of valuing it as much as we do today. Intellect is very useful, of course it is, for learning, for acquiring knowledge, for calculating, for studying, for memorizing, but it is not good for understanding and studying issues as the soul or the spirit. Intellect is not good at solving problems either, at studying the mysteries of life and death. Intellect and reason are not very useful for this. We have some other capacities, like consciousness, but the intellect is not for that kind of is not to be used in those situations. Alas, since the age of Pisces, the era of Aristotle, we have given very great importance to intellect, to reason. And today, the economy depends on intellect. You can realize that this has not solved the problems of life. We are more and more in conflict, difficult situation. Humanity has fewer and fewer possibilities to move forward. There is more and more degeneration in all senses of the term and in all areas. We are killing our planet because we did not know how to use things correctly. See all the problems of humanity, and this is because reason or intellect cannot solve them. On the contrary, it complicates them, makes them more serious, more important. Reason definitely cannot solve all our problems. We have not managed to transcend all these aspects of the age of Pisces. We are in the negative aspect of the mammon vibration that comes from the age of Pisces. It was an era of obscurantism during which progress was halted and set back in many areas. Let's take the example of the Holy Inquisition and all the wars that took place all over the world during this age of Pisces. This shows us that we have not been up to the task of entering into the positive aspect of the Mammon vibration, and that we have always remained in the negative aspect, because that's the level of our psyche as humanity. At that time, Gnosis was pursued and had to go into hiding. It disguised itself with the name of alchemy. So alchemy was Gnosis in disguise. One of the mottos of the alchemist was to transform lead into gold for the king. This phrase has had a hidden meaning, because they did not want to fall into the hands of the Holy Inquisition so that their nails would be pulled out, burned with molten lead, or they are killed on the wheel or on the gallows. The alchemist language was not a physical language. It was not something material. It was a Gnostic language, a Gnostic alchemist language. They did not want to transform physical lead into physical gold. Of course not. What they were referring to was transmuting the lead of the personality into the gold of the spirit. So it was a interior work, interior task. That was the motto of the Gnostic alchemist of that time during the Pisces era, during the age of Pisces. Their mission was to succeed in the great work. The great work for the alchemist was the intimate self-realization of our being. Each alchemist term is found in Gnosis itself, because it had to disguise itself, hide behind this word of alchemy, so that those who studied Gnosis would not be pursued, persecuted, and killed. So yes, it was an obscurantist era. Nowadays, we are all degenerate and whatever you want. We don't end having, we don't recover from astonishment, learning from something very dark in somewhere in the world, in the news, when another news, another event comes, pops up, another news, another situation, even darker, even more degenerated, pops up in the news. That's our society nowadays. But at least we can study Gnosis freely. We can spread Gnosis freely. This is really an advantage in our era, because in the age of Pisces, it was not the case. These alchemists therefore sought the great work, the intimate self-realization of the being. To succeed in this great work, the alchemist said that it was necessary to eliminate the dry mercury and the arsenic sulfur. The dry mercury is a symbol. It represents the psychological aggregates of the self, the ego, of pride, laziness, anger, envy, gluttony, vanity, greed, etc. That's it, what dry mercury represents. Mercury itself was the representation of our creative energy. When this creative energy is not well channeled, when it is not transmuted, when we give free rein to our passional instinct and to our negative emotions, this favors the birth of new psychological aggregates, new egos. The alchemist said that dry mercury represented the psychological aggregates, the ego, because the ego feeds on this unchanneled, wasted creative energy. As for sulfur, which is a very flammable component, it represented fire for the alchemist. On the other hand, arsenic sulfur represents something completely different. Arsenic is a venom, right? A poison. So arsenic fire is a poisonous fire. Representation of animal, bestial, passion. So my dear friends, to carry out the great work of the Father, to succeed in the intimate severalization of the being, it is essential to eliminate, to destroy the dry mercury or the psychological defects in us. It is essential to put an end to arsenic sulfur, animal passion, the bestial passion, very characteristic in each of us. During the period of the Age of Pisces, Gnosis had to disguise itself like this. They gathered at midnight, mostly in monasteries, not because it was an ideal hour, but because it was the only time, the only moment when they were sure of not being disturbed. This is how Gnosis was to be studied at the time, and perhaps some of you were among them in those monasteries under the teachings of Nicolas Flamel, for example, or other great figures of that time who had to disguise this teaching in this way of alchemy. This era was related, this era of Pisces, like many others, was related to a planet of our solar system. For example, Libra is related to the planet Venus and Saturn. Leo is related to the Sun. Aries and Scorpio are related to Mars. Virgo and Gemini are related to Mercury. Sagittarius related to Jupiter. Capricorn is related to Saturn, as well as Taurus, also with the planet Venus. The zodiac sign of Pisces is related to the planet Neptune, which governs mysticism and spirituality. This is why the esoteric schools are ruled or governed or influenced by Neptune. Neptune established an era of activity in esoteric schools and an era of rest, because the trajectory that Neptunes make around the Sun for 100 years is an activity with a time of rest. Mysticism is therefore in close relationship with Neptune. Few people managed to capture the vibration of Pisces in a positive way to help themselves in their inner path, in their inner progress of the great work. We have the examples of Saint Francis of Assisi and Antony of Padua. They were admirable monks. They were true masters who succeed in channeling this transcendental spirituality, transcendental tendencies, vibration, help of the Age of Pisces in a positive way. This is what we should have done as humanity during the Age of Pisces, but unfortunately, very few people succeeded in doing it. The majority of us have been more about pursuing money, and we also have made inordinate use of intellect and reason. This was the vibration of Neptune in the Age of Pisces. Each era always begins with the coming of a messenger, an initiate. It is often thought that Jesus was the initiate, the messenger or avatar of the Age of Pisces, but this is not correct. The avatar carries a message, a teaching from the masters of the White Lodge, to restore wisdom, because we humans are used to changing, modifying, degenerating this knowledge. There were very high knowledge, very high wisdom at the time in the ancient times. During the time of Jesus, however, the transcendental wisdom of the Greeks and Romans fell into degeneration, and no one has, very few people have respect for the sacred things, for the sacred gods, for the wisdom of those civilizations. So a new age entered, a new age began, and it was necessary to renew that wisdom, to renew that knowledge in a new, let's say, body, in a new way of delivering it. The same message of transcendental wisdom, but inside different clothes, let's say. So the messenger or avatar of the Age of Pisces was John the Baptist. John the Baptist. He was the one in charge of delivering this new message to humanity. And who is the one who sent those messengers, those masters? Well, a group of initiates that is called the White Lodge. Master Jesus is the one who commands the avatar. He is above avatars. He is the one who asked them to come. It is for this reason that we call Master Jesus the Master of Masters. So John the Baptist brought Gnosis knowledge, Gnostic knowledge, to humanity when the Age of Pisces began. And the Master Jesus came to ratify all this teaching and deepen it during the time of the Age of Pisces. The Age of Pisces ended, as we said, on February 4th, 1962, between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. At that time, all the planets of the solar system were all aligned for the Age of Aquarius to begin. And from that moment, very important changes began. For centuries, it was a more or less stable period. Degenerate, involutive, devolving, but stable, without sudden changes. As the Age of Aquarius were approaching, some changes started to take place in the humanity. Social, scientific changes. Then, when the Age of Aquarius began, it was the children and young people who captured this new vibration more easily than adults, because we adults already have a larger shell of prejudices, concepts, memories, experience, and we do not allow those vibrations to reach inside easily. We don't grasp them easily. We don't adopt them easily. There was therefore, on this date, a shock, a total transformation in many fields, psychological, emotional, scientific, political, etc. During 10 years, a lot of things have changed. Regrettably, as in the Age of Pisces, we have not been up to the task either. In this new age, we have not polarized, we have not taken the positive aspect of this new vibration of Aquarius. We entered the vibration of Aquarius in a terribly negative way, which is far from making us proud. We are indeed getting worse and worse using this vibration to deepen our degeneration. Everything is going wrong in the world because we have not been able to take this vibration of Aquarius positively. We have not been able to channel the vibration positively. This is why we are having this lecture, my dear friends, so that we can realize things. We think that everything is fine, but that's just a negative aspect of the Aquarius vibration. But we think that we are doing great. But we can see that many diseases are spreading all over the world, that there are wars everywhere. The seas and oceans are contaminated. There is more and more violence. We have to see this. We have to open our eyes. We have not taken the positive aspect of the vibration that governs us. This lecture is made so that we realize all this, so that we take the side, the positive aspect of the vibration which governs us at this moment. The vibration of the Age of Pisces was called Mammon vibration. That of the Age of Aquarius is called Dionysian vibration. That is in honor of the god of wine, Dionysio. Many of our emotional and psychological characteristics are related to Dionysio. In the Age of Pisces, we took money and reason negatively from the vibration of Mammon. The vibration of the Age of Aquarius, which began in 1962 and in which we are now, is the Dionysian vibration that corresponds to the god Dionysio, the god of wine. This vibration obviously also has two aspects, two poles. This is the aspect, the positive pole of the vibration that we are seeking to have here through this lecture, to integrate it into our life so that it becomes part of our life. Because we will also be able to notice that we are right in the negative aspect of this vibration. We drown ourselves in the vice of alcohol, don't we? Nowadays, alcohol has become something natural, something regular in our society, even if it is the cause of so many tragedies and sufferings. The majority of road accidents are unfortunately due to alcohol. A large proportion of crimes, theft, rapes, assaults, and violence are caused by the odor of alcohol, the perfume of alcohol. Alcohol is truly a scourge for humanity. Once again, we were not up to the task either in this new age. We were not polarized in the positive aspect of the Dionysian wave. We took its negative aspect, its negative side, its negative pole. Everything done today with alcohol. Everything is done today with alcohol. At parties, alcohol is never lacking. We drink alcohol because we are happy. We drink alcohol because we want to have fun. But we can be joyful and happy also without alcohol, can we? Unfortunately, society now sees and accepts alcohol as something completely normal and part of our lives. Look at a father who doesn't earn much money, who barely has enough to eat. He gets drunk. And while being drunk, his son asks him for money. And in this condition, he gives it to him for candies, for video games, for anything. The child thus learns that alcohol is something good. It makes his father a good person. He learns that alcohol is part of life and the child accepts alcohol. But alcohol is really something harmful, bad. There is a legend, interesting legend. A man was walking in the forest, and suddenly he met a demon who blocked the road, who blocked his way, telling him, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to torture you and kill you because my job is to make people suffer. Good. So that I don't kill you, I'm going to ask you to choose. I let you live if you raped your sister. And the man replied, of course not. I'm not going to rape my sister. It is impossible. I won't do that. Then the demon replied, but if you want me to leave you alive, go and kill your father. And the man replied, no, I'm not going to kill my father either. Of course not. How could you ask me for that? Very good, replied the demon. I won't kill you. If you get drunk. So that man then got very drunk, and being completely drunk, he went to rape his sister and kill his father. That's the reality of alcohol. This is an Arab story. We are not saying that we should not use alcohol in medicine, or that we should not drink a small glass of from time to time during the end of year celebration, for example, a toast. What we are saying is that you should not get drunk, because alcohol is a real demon, and it is impossible to negotiate with this demon. As the Arab legend, taught us. Alcohol takes its toll, but we think it's something very normal, insignificant. Many people cannot have activities without previously having alcohol. Some traders celebrate their contracts with alcohol. Others drink alcohol on any occasion. For example, a surgeon already in the vice of alcohol may get to the stage where he got to take one or two glasses of wine, cup of wine, or whatever alcohol kind of alcohol he drinks before performing a surgery. Otherwise, he feels insecure. But what's more serious is that we are opening the door to something even worse, and that is always part of the negative aspect of the Dionysian wave, and it's the drugs. We justify the use of drugs at all costs as a society. We already have ravages with alcohol that is not enough for us, and we continue with drugs. That drugs can be used as medicine, it's okay. It may be possible. But in some countries, drugs are now legal. So look at all the accidents that happen with alcohol. Then, with drugs, it will be even worse. What's going to happen? Do you think that our five senses will not be affected by drugs? Can we ensure that we only take drugs when we are at home in peace, and we will continue like that, using drugs? Those justifications are ridiculous. Anyone can take drugs, like with alcohol, with which we get as drunk as we want. With drugs, theft, crimes, rapes, murders will multiply. And they do. This is why this wave was called the Dionysian wave, because of this, its negative aspect, which is drugs and alcohol. This is the way in which we are in our time. It is in this negative that our current society finds itself. But we think that we are very important, that we are the best, very civilized, very modern. But in reality, my dear friends, we are in the midst of decadence, and it's absurd. And the humanities of other worlds see your sorry state. We are the shame of the solar system. We are the shame of this family. See how we act, how we behave, what our thoughts are. We have fallen into alcohol and drugs, and what's worse, what is most appalling is that we want to unite drugs with gnosis. It's the most terrible thing. We want to meditate with the help of drugs. We want to get started with drugs. Where will this take us? Now, my dear friends, we do not need drugs to go out in the astral plane to have lucid dreams. We do not need drugs to initiate ourselves with drugs or natural hallucinogenic plants. We don't need them at all. If we need drugs to initiate, to be initiated, or to go out into the astral world consciously, where will that take us? It is impossible. The things of gnosis must be natural, depend on our inner work, and not depend on anything else. It is madness to want to associate gnosis with drugs. So now there are nonsense like ads like, take these natural drugs so you can better connect with your mind, with your inner being, and stuff like that are promoted on the media, on the social networks, on the social apps, etc. And on top of that, we pay a lot of money for this, to be deceived, to turn us into idiots, and to reinforce the terrible consequences of the conductive water organ. We don't set a way to behave. Everyone here is free to do whatever they want, but please remember that there will be consequences. Some people later come to us asking for medicines to correct the damages they have made to their health and to their life using drugs and alcohol. And let's talk a little bit about sexuality. Aquarius is related to the planet Uranus, and Uranus rules our sexual glands. So there were, of course, with the entering of the age of Aquarius, a sexual revolution. Previously, sexuality was a terrible taboo, as was everything to do with it. We could not talk about sex freely. It was something immoral. When we were children or young people, we could not receive information or guidance on this subject from our parents, and the information we got came from friends, and it was already completely wrong. So we have degenerated sexuality. Now we have entered the age of Aquarius. Things have changed, but unfortunately, in a bad way. Nowadays, young girls take contraceptive pills, so we are taught everywhere to use condoms. The sexual issue has become common. The outcome is that many young girls have found themselves pregnant almost everywhere, and these pregnancies are most of the time unwanted, unplanned. As a result, many children are abandoned. It's even worse than before. Where is the knowledge of this sexuality that we talk about so much? We have fallen into infrasexualism. Adultery has become common and accepted, and it is even considered a good thing, as something necessary. This is the situation today. The more sexually degenerated we are, the better we think we are. So we justify all this, and the authorities, like medicine, see this in a very good light and justify it. So mothers nowadays give the pills, the contraceptive pills, to their daughters so that they don't get pregnant, so that they can be free, so that they can do anything. Sexuality is sacred. We are not saying that we must be puritanical or distance ourselves from sexuality. No, we are not saying that. But sexuality is truly a sacred part of us. Here we are talking about the infrasexuality in which we live in our society. Marriage no longer has any meaning these days. Divorces are increasing. Adultery is very frequent. Pornography also. Profanities, innuendos are everywhere. And this means that we have involuted the vault and that we continue to involute to the vault. As humanity, we are getting worse. What about the music? It is also part of the negative aspect of the Dionysian wave. There are more and more shrill noises without any harmony in what we call today music, without any precision, without harmony, and which develop what is most instinctive and most brutal in each human being. Look at the girls. They went dancing at the party, and under the effects of the music, they end up pregnant. Under the influence of passionate, lustful music and messages in music today, they began thinking that the abuse of the sexuality is something normal, regular, and they end up pregnant. Music is said to be willpower. But the music we listen to today is of the lower type. Music affects our way of being, our way of thinking, feeling, acting, and even our way of dressing up. We have identified ourselves with music of inferior kind. For example, if we put Beethoven music at a party, everyone leaves. We are taking today the classical music as something of elites, something intellectual. But back at their time, it was popular music. So people, regular people, common people, used to appreciate that music. Rare are the people who can and have been able to capture the positive pole of the Dionysian wave today. We entered the age of Aquarius and captured the wave of Dionysio. Then we fell into sexual degeneration, drugs, alcohol, music of inferior type. And we added to the negative pole of the wave of the age of Pisces, to money, therefore, to intellect and reason, which gave us a culture that we can call trash culture. So, who managed to place themselves in the positive pole of the Dionysian wave? Very few people, in truth, because it leads us to meditation, to transcendental scientific meditation. And meditation is the antithesis of alcohol and drugs. You can never mix meditation with drugs or alcohol, because they are opposites, opposite poles of the Dionysian wave. Drugs and alcohol take us into the lower dimension of nature. They activate our chakras, of course, yes, but in a negative way. So we end up having nightmares, delirium tremens. Delirium tremens is a visit to the submerged worlds of nature. The things we see during delirium tremens are real and they exist, but in the lower submerged dimensions of nature. So those trips, so little trips that we made with drugs, are not initiation at all. Those are not initiations. Those are visits to the Dantesque infernal circles, and that's all. The lower dimension of nature. And whoever wishes to get out of the world of drugs and alcohol must practice meditation, because it is the opposite activity, the opposite pole of the Dionysian way. That is the solution. Of course, doctors may recommend some other things. And if a person has already fallen into drugs and alcohol, should take those recommendations, of course, but also meditation. Meditation also activates our chakras, but in a positive transcendental way. So do you understand now why you can't mix meditation and drugs? Drugs and meditation? Who could have had that crazy idea of mixing those things? That madness. If you don't agree with this, we respect your decision, but let me repeat it. Every decision we make will have consequences. So we must be responsible for our actions. If you decide to continue using natural or synthetic drugs, it is up to you. But we must be responsible of the consequences. We don't set a way of thinking or behaving. Everyone is free to do what they want with their own life. But we strongly recommend meditation, transcendental scientific meditation, to get to know ourselves deeply. When we relax our physical body and our mind, our chakras activate in a positive way, and this allows us to submerge ourselves not in the lower dimension, but in the superior dimension of nature, in a natural, progressive way, consciously way, without any fantasy, without any, without the use of any drugs or alcohol or anything. That's our consciousness awakening with the help of meditation, natural, positive practices. This is what meditation is, my dear friends. The positive aspect of the Dionysian way of the Age of Aquarius. Classical music is also part of the positive side of the Dionysian way. Of course, classical music comes from some hundreds of years. And it started during the Age of Pisces, but it was taken down from the superior dimension by masters, by initiates. So it transcends any time. Masters, initiates like Beethoven, Mozart, Richard Wagner, that is eternal music, music of the spheres. The positive pole of this wave give us the opportunity to identify this delicious music. This music that delights our higher emotional centers. Music of the lower type take us into the sexual aspects of the infrasexuality. But classical music transmute us, transform our creative energy. That is why it is good to listen classical music to classical music. It is why it is good that we identify, we get immersed into classical music from Beethoven, Mozart, Richard Wagner, the Parsifal of Wagner, for example. Those are superb creations. It is music from the spheres, transcendental music, music that educate us in a different level, that help us, that refocuses us. That's what we recommend. So we suggest that you polarize, you take the positive aspect of the Dionysian way, as we have said. Aquarius is in relationship with Uranus, which we capture through our sexual organs. Aquarius brought the lower sexual revolution. We know it, because we see it from all sides. But it also brings us the opportunity to see in the sexuality what the Mayans, ancient India, Tibet, ancient Egyptians, ancient Greeks, and Aztecs saw in sexuality. They saw something very, very sacred, a tool, a way to get to the divinity and to compare us to gods. As Saint Augustine said, sex is another way of praying. And as Saint Francis of Assisi also said, sex is like money. If you use it for good, then it is good. If you use it for evil, then it is bad. Seeing something sacred in sexuality to succeed in transforming this energy which gave us life, that is a positive aspect of the Dionysian wave regarding sexuality, my dear friends. The positive pole of this wave develops our faculties, our powers, but in a positive and transcendental way. Be very careful. Those positive faculties, gifts, powers should never be commented on. You should not say to anyone who wants to listen, "I see the aura, I'm capable of seeing the aura," or "I'm the reincarnation of this or that master. I'm the reincarnation of so-and-so or someone else." No, my dear friends. Those sort of things we should avoid. We should be far from it. It is forbidden, and it is not with a little meditation of 5 minutes or 1 hour that we will be able to see personages with white dresses like masters. No, my dear friends, that fantasy, that idiocy, because we have complexes of inferiorities, and we always want to be someone important, so we tend to use whatever we learn to compensate those complexes of inferiority, right? Okay? So be aware of avoiding those fantasies, falling in them. The natural development of positive faculties which help us to improve our work, our life, studies, family. This is the positive pole of the Dionysian wave. We could work to develop those powers, those faculties, and use them to help us in our life in a positive way, transcendental way, helping others, of course, but never saying that we possess them, that we are able to use them. We should remain humble always. The age of Aquarius with this Dionysian way caused a lot of movement, a lot of change. To illustrate this, and without wanting to judge or criticize anyone, we are going to talk about the Gnostic movement, which has developed and which gives techniques and keys for meditation, which speaks of identification with classical music, transmutation of creative energy, development of positive and transcendental faculties. That is to say, taking advantage of the positive pole of the Dionysian wave. But we have the other side of the medal, of the coin, in the infamous hippie movement. The ideas of the hippie movement are extraordinary if we study their demands, their wishes, the objective, which are love and peace. But their methods are not correct. And this is what we see very often in current philosophical schools. The polarization takes place in the negative aspect of the Dionysian way in many philosophical, religious schools, etc. We have become polarized in the negative aspect of the Dionysian way as humanity, as society, as civilization. That's certain. The hippie movement fell into drugs and sexuality. The idea was good, but drug taking was very common in this movement, and we can say that many spiritual movements of the time did the same, falling into drugs and sexual degeneration. Gurus, so-called masters, appeared, calling themselves gurus, who offered their female disciples to practice sexuality with them for their advancement. That sexual degeneration, you can call it anything else. It is obvious that many movements appeared upon entering the age of Aquarius and entered, like the hippie movement, into the negative aspect of the Dionysian wave. They had a lot of good intentions, yes, but as the saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions are worthless. Only the facts count. Only the facts are important. The International Gnostic Movement reappears and it gains strength to deliver the keys, the process, the practices to rediscover this age-old wisdom, knowledge, to recover Gnosis. Gnosis has always existed, my dear friends, because Gnosis is a natural functionalism of a consciousness. So Gnosis is not found outside. Gnosis is found inside us. It is found deep down in our consciousness. And this is a reality since the first human being appeared on Earth. Since the first human being appeared on Earth, Gnosis was present. So Gnosis flourished extraordinarily in ancient cultures, here in Mexico, in Anahuac. That is where the Gnostic who built the pyramids of Teotihuacan, of Tula, Hidalgo, Xochicalco, Cholula, Cacaxtla, Mayans, etc. It was Gnostic of that golden age of that civilization during their age of splendor who did all this because they had Gnosis in their hands. It is obvious that they did not make human sacrifices at that time. They, at that time of the golden age, referred to the sacrifice of our interior passions, interior defects. Gnosis was present among the Incas. It was them who built these marvelous sacred areas, archaeological zones, archaeological places like Machu Picchu and Tiwanaku. These are extraordinary constructions which even today give us transcendental knowledge. So they were Gnostic Incas. It was the Gnostics who did all this. This thousand-year-old Gnosis we present in Copan in Honduras. This is why we can see extraordinary steels there. These thousand-year-old steels giving very deep Gnostic knowledge. Gnostics built the pyramids of Egypt. The Essenes, from whom the Master Jesus of Nazareth came, were Gnostic. The Gnostics of India, of Tibet, that is millennial Gnosis. It was present during the golden age of all cultures, of all civilizations. And in our days, the international Gnostic movement resurfaced again in the age of Aquarius like a lion on the battlefield to destroy, to fight the illusory, to fight ignorance and fanaticism, to fight a mistaken hero. This is what Gnosis is, my dear friends, trying to establish once again this sacred wisdom that can be found inside ourselves, and that it was given in ancient cultures during the Golden Age. It is Gnosis that we invite you. It is this Gnosis that we try, that we share here at the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute, that we try to teach. So that it is learned, and so that it is lived. My dear friends, this is our lecture for today. Thank you so much for being present.